Good morning for Bill Lynch. This is Frank Cetapani with the CBS World News Roundup. Stealing away in the dark of night for Panama, Haiti's military coup leaders have set the stage for Saturday's return of the country's democratically elected president. Robert Berger watched them go.
A charter jet is now rolling slowly down the runway here at the airport in Port-au-Prince, carrying Cedrus and his family and Beyond B. Both men arrived under tight security in U.S. armored vehicles. They were ushered into the VIP lounge where they had a last meeting with the U.S. ambassador. Then Cedrus walked slowly with his family out to the aircraft. Both men wore blue suits and looked grim as they went into exile.
This is Dan Raviv in Port-au-Prince. The American embassy ruled this morning that as part of a negotiated agreement with Cedrus, the U.S. government is renting his home and his beachfront house, paying a year in advance.
I wouldn't say we treated him favorably at all.
Embassy spokesman Stanley Schrager said the U.S. is paying a fair market rent. He didn't have a specific dollar amount. But Schrager said there was no cash inducement to get the two generals to leave. He also revealed that 23 of their relatives and friends were flown to Miami on that second chartered airliner, while Cedrus, Biombi, and the Cedrus family and the family maid were taken to Panama. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Port-au-Prince.
The White House says the U.S. is ready to lift its freeze on the coup leaders' assets now that they're gone.
Gracias al presidente.
Arriving in Panama, Cedrus thanked his new host and said he hopes to find peace and tranquility there. No one was more pleased to see Cedrus and Biombi go than U.S. Ambassador to Haiti, William Swing.
It brings this phase of the transitional process to an end and opens up a new beginning.
The New York Times says U.S. and Haitian officials still have not agreed on how many American VIPs will be able to witness Aristide's return. Military officials say security is still a big problem in Haiti. A Swiss judge says cult leader Luc Jouret was among the 48 sun worshippers found dead in two alpine villages last week. Jouret had been the subject of a worldwide manhunt and police determined he was among the victims. In all, 53 of Jouret's followers died in Switzerland and Canada by murder or suicide. The government says wholesale prices fell 0.5% last month. John Steyer reports.
It's how the financial markets spell relief, the largest one-month drop in wholesale inflation since August of 1993. The decline was brought on by lower food and energy costs. And C.J. Lawrence economist Ed Yardeni says, overall, the economy seems to be playing out the best-case scenario.
All in all, it suggests that the inflation situation remains very well under control, despite the fact that the economy is doing very well and that the unemployment rate recently dropped below 6%.
We'll get more inflation news tomorrow with the release of the Consumer Price Index. If it's moderate, as expected, analysts predicting an interest rate hike next month may start changing their minds. John Steyer, CBS News, New York.
Some analysts call today's report misleading since the core inflation rate, measuring everything other than volatile food and energy prices, increased a bit. With Saddam Hussein's army beating a leisurely retreat from the Kuwaiti border, 30 American F-15s and F-16s arrived in the Persian Gulf today as part of the campaign to discourage future taunts. The head of the U.S. Central Command says the crisis is not over but has been diffused. American Marines staged the first U.S. exercise of the operation to reassure Kuwaitis and to put some fear in Iraqis. Kimberly Dozier reports.
The Marines poured out of 8 helicopters in a cloud of dust below the Mubla Ridge. They were just a mile from the so-called Highway of Death, where an untold number of Iraqi forces fleeing Kuwait were killed at the end of the last Gulf War. Marine Lieutenant Colonel Rick Barry says the area's history had little to do with the operation. He says the U.S. is just sending a message to Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein that U.S. troops are well-trained, well-equipped, and ready to respond.
I think it'll turn into a form of a Mexican standoff in which he probably withdraws a partial amount of his forces, as he appears to be doing now, although that hadn't been confirmed. And we'll continue to flow forces into theater until the ratio looks acceptable and then we wait.
Barry says he expects many of the 1,300 Marines waiting on ships off the coast of Kuwait to come ashore soon. Kimberly Dozier for CBS News, Kuwait City.
With the Allies cool to the idea of a no-tank zone to keep Iraq from menacing Kuwait in the future, the White House is looking at other options. The New York Times reports the latest U.S. plan would allow regular Iraqi troops to remain in the border area, but elite Republican Guard units would have to stay out. Defense Secretary Perry is en route to inspect the building Persian Gulf force, underscoring U.S. resolve to keep Saddam Hussein in his place. A day before his threatened execution at the hands of Hamas kidnappers, there's still no break in the abduction of Israeli soldier Nachshon Waksman. Jesse Shulman has the latest from Tel Aviv.
The Islamic radical kidnappers have circulated a leaflet in the Gaza Strip saying the Israeli soldier they're holding is still alive, but that he's not in the Gaza Strip or Jericho, that he's not in areas under Palestinian self-rule. Instead, they say he's inside Israel itself, which is where he was kidnapped. They also say Prime Minister Rabin can only save the soldier's life by freeing Palestinian prisoners as they demand. If he does not, they say the soldier will be killed shortly after the deadline expires tomorrow. The Israeli government insists the missing man is still being held in the Gaza Strip, and they say PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat is responsible for his safe return.
In Belfast, pro-British Protestant paramilitary groups have decided to join the ceasefire initiated by the Catholic Irish Republican Army. But a spokesman made it clear the truce could be withdrawn at any time.
The permanence of our ceasefire will be completely dependent upon the continued cessation of all nationalist Republican violence. The sole responsibility for a return to war lies with them.
Prime Minister Major of Britain says the process to bring peace to Northern Ireland is on track. After 25 years of sectarian bloodshed, peace worker Anne McCann says she has only one regret.
I'm sad that it couldn't have come a lot sooner. I'm delighted that families won't suffer the way my family have suffered at the loss of a young brother at 19, coming back from a disco in the wrong place at the wrong time.
The ceasefire should clear the way for negotiations on the future of Northern Ireland. The winner of this year's Nobel Prize in Literature is Japanese writer Kenzaburo Oe. His English translator says Oe's coming of age during the post-war American occupation of Japan made him a spokesman for an alienated generation. The CIA's number two clandestine operations official and another ranking officer have opted to quit rather than take demotions. Both were reassigned after giving an award to one of the 11 CIA officers who'd been reprimanded in the Aldrich Ames spy case. As the Denver school strike goes into its fourth day, the two sides are at least a little closer to settling their differences. Colorado Governor Roy Romer reported progress on 5 of 7 major issues at a late-night meeting.
Tentative agreement on very limited part of the contract. This is not the whole contract. It's possibly some of the more contentious part.
No agreement was reached on teacher salaries. Headway, but no agreement is also reported in the teacher strike that shut down public schools in Anchorage, Alaska's biggest district. After a half hour of trading on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average was surging ahead 38 points.